World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I want to make a joke here. Can I start with a joke? Here on my screen, I can see everybody who's logged in. Again, let me go through this. If you're watching this at Coach Dave Live, then you're able to log in and communicate and get in the chat room and all that. If you're watching it on Rumble or the Patriot Party News or Facebook, you can't do that. So a lot of people just go straight to CoachDaveLive.com and log in, and then they can get part of the chat and they can raise their hands and answer questions and ask questions and communicate one another. And so I got in here this morning. I'm just kind of scrolling, saying, hey, who's in here today? Who's in here today? And it's like we have a mega church here. So what do you mean, Coach? Well, I don't even know some of you folks. I mean, I'm glad you're there. Don't get me wrong. But isn't that what a mega church is? You go to church every Sunday. The pastor gets up in front of you, and he preaches to 5,000 people. And he wouldn't know you if you ran into him with your car in the parking lot, right? So I appreciate all of you out there. And I know we're having an impact. And I know lives are being changed. And I don't know why the Lord's used me to do it. I'm glad he has. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not afraid to be wrong. Hey, look, that's one of the keys to life. Friends, you cannot be afraid to be wrong. And that's where most people get trapped in their lives. They're afraid to speak up because they maybe will say the wrong thing or somebody will, whatever. You can't be afraid to be wrong. And remember this, the Bible says that the truth, if you know it, will set you free. And it's possible to know some things that you think are true that aren't true. And if there's something that you've been believing your whole life that isn't true, don't you want to know it? Or as Mark Trump has talked about, is it that first truth so important to us that we'll cling on to it no matter what? And no matter what they bring to our to lay on the table, no matter what, we just can't believe it. That's why we come up with the 40 some thousand different denominations. And that's one thing that I gotta be honest with you. I don't agree with a lot of what you guys say. And I assume you don't agree with a lot of what I say. And that's good, isn't it? Isn't that open debate? Aren't we allowed? Why do we only have two political parties and 44,000 Christian denominations? I wonder how many of those 44,000 Christian denominations are Republican. So clearly somewhere along the line in those 44,000 denominations, they have a lot of stuff that they agree on. But the denomination is based on what they disagree on. Vinny, that would be an amen. I don't know if you're listening out there. It would be on what the denomination is shaped and framed by what they disagree on.
Boom.
Well, thanks, Vinny. Huh? That's the truth, right? That's the truth. And so I'm humble enough. I don't even know if I'm humble or not. Just let y'all know, I don't know the truth. I don't know, but I'm a voracious reader and researcher. And I don't just kind of willy-nilly come and throw things on the table here and chew on them. I've done some, like yesterday, you know, we talk about heaven and do you go to heaven? What happens when you die? I've done some research on that stuff. And I'm going to tell you, I still don't know. I know Jesus said to the thief, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. And so everybody assumed paradise is heaven. What is paradise? What? And if everybody's in heaven, then what takes place at the white throne judgment? When the books are going to be opened and everybody's going to be judged out of those books. And Lazarus, they said to Lazarus, when they came, Jesus showed up at the grave, and everybody said, leave him alone, man. And don't roll that rock away. He's dead. And Jesus said, no, he ain't dead. What are you talking about, Willie? He ain't dead. He's sleeping. Hey, Lazarus, wake up. Come on out of there, brother. So there's a lot of things that, again, look, the Bible in many instances can be situational. When you take something out of context, you change the whole thing. In other words, I act a lot differently here than maybe I would act at a public school board meeting. I mean, I'm the same guy, same beliefs, but my behavior is probably a little bit different because why? Well, I'm in charge of this, right? It's my show. It's Coach Dave Live. And so we all understand that our behavior changes depending on what the venue we are in. My beliefs don't change. My approach does. My techniques, my presentation, all changes. It all does. And that's not something that any of us should be ashamed of. Just trying to tell the truth the way that we see it, and whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. It'll work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So I just want to thank everybody for giving me the rope to hang myself sometimes. And when I'm wrong, I say it and can try to move on. And I'm going somewhere today. Stay with me. I want to thank God publicly. Lord, I want to thank Jesus Christ for the healing of Mike Blake's wife, Bonnie. And I don't know how many of you know, well, most of you, some of you know Mike, maybe a lot of you don't. I don't know if Mike's even in here today, because Bonnie has, Mike finally retired. How about that? And he and Bonnie, his wife, took a trip west. Go west, young man. So they jumped in their truck and their camper, and they went west, have a little bit of vacation, celebrate retirement. And they went out through, you know, out to where Betty used to live, out through the Dakotas and out through Montana, out through all that. And lo and behold, I'm not telling anything out of school here. Lo and behold, middle of the night, a couple nights ago, Bonnie got up, wasn't feeling well, and boom, went down on the floor. I'm telling the story properly. Boom, fell down on the floor. And awakened Mike, and Mike got up. And what would you do? Your wife's laying on the floor. He got her back up, and she was okay, but she wasn't okay. Everybody knows what that means. And they're out in the middle of nowhere, and he calls 911 because something's wrong with his wife, and he doesn't know what it is. And if I understand it, I'm not trying to embellish anything. Because they're so far out in the middle of nowhere, out in the west, it took the emergency squad about 40 minutes to get there. 40 minutes. Can you imagine that? So Mike's sitting there with Bonnie, and Bonnie's, I mean, she evidently, she's okay, but how? What does that mean? She's okay. And the emergency squad finally gets there, and they have to take Bonnie to the hospital, the nearest hospital. So they put Bonnie in the squad. Mike jumps in his truck and follows. Mike said he drove 80 miles an hour for almost an hour to get to the hospital. Think about this, folks. So we're talking about from the time Bonnie went down, what, an hour and a half? Hour and 40 minutes. I mean, maybe longer than that. When they get to the hospital, they find out that Bonnie has a blocked artery. They did it real quick, you know, however they do those tests. And they took her into surgery, and she had a blocked artery, and they put a stent in there and opened that artery up. And boom, the next morning, she's up walking around feeling good. And yesterday afternoon, they released her. And as far as I know, they're in their van today. They're heading home, or they're heading somewhere today. Now, I don't know what you think. That is an absolute miracle of God, man. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable to think. I can't imagine what Mike must have been thinking that whole time. He's waiting for to get to the hospital and waiting for the emergency squad to get there. But I just rejoice. We all just rejoice that Bonnie Blake is okay. Is okay. And Mike, I don't know if you're heading home. I don't know what's going on, but thank all of you that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man.
They're heading west.
What, honey?
They're heading west.
I can't hear whoever that was. I know that. My wife, Ying and Yang, right? Michelle's Ying and I'm Yang. Sometimes I'm Yang. Sometimes she's Ying. But Mike said that they're heading west. Now, he should be heading east. He should be heading home. But evidently, they're still continuing their journey. Well, so for whatever reason, we certainly rejoice at on the good news on Bonnie Blake here today, for sure, for sure. man, I got a lot of stuff. Sometimes I can't, when we do our show here in the morning, which today is 2212th show today. I don't know if this is a cultural show. I don't know if it's a religious show, a spiritual show. Sometimes I don't know what it is. And I think it's a little bit of both. And I would pray that every one of you that are watching have grown spiritually and your knowledge has increased culturally and exactly what's going on around us and just having a better understanding. And so when I get up in the morning, when I come down here, I try to have a guide, a direction of where we're going to go. And hope that not only is entertaining, but educational. So I want to show you some stuff today that I came across that I hear a lot about. Bear with me, if you will. I get emails, as you can probably imagine. Most people are very nice to me, and they're, you know, I read them all, try to read them all, try to respond to all of them. And the topic of Christian dominionism continues to come up. You guys know what that means? Christian dominionism. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, go to Mr. Webster for me. Go to Mr. Webster and just look up the word dominion. Dominion. Dominion is sovereign or supreme authority, the power of governing and controlling. That's dominion. It's the power to direct, to control, to use and dispose of at pleasure, right of possession. A dominion is a territory under a government, region, country, district governed, or within the limits of authority. And four, government, right of governing. Jamaica is under the dominion of Great Britain. So look at the predominance and order of angels, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, persons governed. So Christian dominionism, to me, seems to be a pretty accurate word, isn't it? Dominionism. But see, there's great argument, great battle going on in the Christian world over, let me switch a D word with you, denominationalism, which is really nothing more than a different form of dominionism. So I'm going to pick on Betty Perkins here right now. Betty, what denomination were you raised in, Betty?
Lutheran. Or First Baptist and Lutheran.
First Baptist and Lutheran. What do they agree on, you know? What do they disagree on?
Love.
Good answer. But they do have different disagreements, don't they? Yeah, they have a disagreement. I was raised Catholic. Michelle and I both raised Catholic. And then I went hyper-charismatic. And now I don't even know what I am, whatever they would call me. I know what I am. Spirit-filled, whatever the heck that means, right? But there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that stuff is all true. But in dominionism and denominationalism, we like to jump on a horse and ride that horse, if you know what I'm talking about. Charismaniacs, speaking in tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in all the gifts. I believe in all of them. I believe in speaking in tongues, the evidence I believe in. I believe it. But that ain't the only horse I ride. I can fellowship with a non-charismatic. I can fellowship with a dominionist. I can fellowship with all those. But we have to come to the realization that a lot of what we see going on in the government, look at the government, and you tell me that the American government is not about power and control. Would anybody want to make an argument over that? That the entire focus of the American government is power and control. With that comes money and all that kind of stuff. But that's a goal. Now, would you also agree with me, those of you who maybe are pastors or former pastors, that the job of denominationalism is, can somebody tell me what the job of denominationalism is? Power and control. Power and control. Now, I'm not one of those guys who thinks that you shouldn't. I believe in liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, not control. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have to ask ourselves in our Christian walk, do we need the approval always of elders and bishops and whatever they would call in everything that we do, in every move that's made in the church? Where did the idea of eldership and I understand it's in the Bible. I understand that. But where did that whole idea come from? And would y'all agree with me? I could tell you right now, some pastors, maybe who are listening right now, who won't admit it, they are shackled in their ministries by the power and the control of the denomination. Would somebody out there say amen so they know exactly what I'm saying? Because if they happen to step out of line on what that denomination believes, right? So we all need a covering. We all need authority. And the reality of it is I, Coach Dave, I have to answer to the Lord. I answer to the Lord. Ultimately, I don't answer to dudes sitting on the elder board, although there's advice taken there and they have control. But the Christian walk, folks, is an individual walk. It's an individual walk. And the only reason that Coach Dave Live exists is because I thought, man, I got a gift and I want to try to use that gift to train and equip and mobilize the saints. I never called myself a pastor. I never called myself, I guess we're all ministers, but I got a ministry license over there hanging on the wall, but I don't go around carrying it and say, Coach, what denomination are you? I don't go there. What does that stuff even matter? And why is it to the problem? I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. All right. We have found, I was having a conversation. I went and saw Alan Zeifer was in town. He was up at Jeff Klein's church in the garage last night. And it was good to be up there and see Alan and Tammy. And I'll see him some more this weekend. But to understand, to discuss, to think about Jeff Klein, who the heck is Jeff Klein having a church in the garage? And I imagine that Jeff probably faces all the time, run into people, say, well, huh? What denomination are you? Who's your elder? I imagine we run into that stuff all the time. And ultimately, the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord's our guide. And for some reason, we have made Christianity I don't want to call it a denomination, but it has a hierarchy to it. A hierarchy. Do I have to call a pastor to pray for me, or can I call Randy? Do I have to call to the elder board to get some direction about which way I want to go with the ministry, or can I call Roger and get some advice? And so much of what we've done with Christianity is we have so legalized it. I'm going somewhere, I'm telling you. Stay with me. There's a thing out there called Seven Mountains. You guys heard of that? Seven Mountains. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about here real quickly. I'm going to show you something here real quick. Pull up The Truth is Offensive, number one. Pull this up. I don't know who sent this to me, but I appreciate it. And this is really, really good. This young lady is standing up and she's holding a sword, as you can see. And I wish I had said this. Wish I had said this. Because, friends, the word of God is a sword. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing even to the soul. And this, what kind of scalpel must that have to be able to go in and separate the soul and the spirit? Ooh, what kind of scalpel must that be? The Bible says that the word of God is that. Hey, hang on. Would anybody out there want to disagree with me that the sword is only effective if you unsheath it? What good is having a gun if you never pull out of your pocket, out of the holster? And it was Jesus himself. He told the disciples to go sell their coat and buy a sword. Now, I don't know if you know this. He told them to buy a sword because they didn't have guns. He told them to go buy the most powerful weapon of its day, the sword. Sell everything you have and go buy a sword. Now, we know this, that the purpose of the sword is protective. That's why you have it, right? But folks, a sword's an offensive weapon. It's offensive, meaning that you use it to advance, but it's also offensive in that the people being stabbed by that sword don't like it. Vinny, that's a good boom. That would be a good boom.
Boom.
Anybody ever get pricked by a thistle? Anybody get picked by a, well, they call those things a thorn bush? Say, ow, ow, because why? It's offensive. The sword of the Spirit is offensive. Yes, it eventually brings comfort. Why? Because it cuts the bad stuff out of it. It slices and dices the bad stuff out of it. But boy, did this little girl, I don't know how old she is, did she ever hit it? Go ahead.
Hey, if you feel offended by the word of God, because that is the nature of truth, it does not tolerate your sin. It does not give you any room for excuses. The Bible is offensive in nature. It's a sword. It's there to pierce people's hearts. So the only way really to make it unoffensive is just to cover it up so that it doesn't hurt you so much. So when someone comes and asks a Christian, so is homosexuality a sin? And you cover up the Bible, you're like, you know what? Well, God is love, so just come as you are. Someone asks you about abortion and you answer, well, you know, everyone has a story. And we cover up what the Word of God would have to say so that it's not offensive. The only problem is, I can't pierce your heart anymore. Now it can no longer do what it was supposed to do. It is now no longer sharp. It's not cutting into the hearts of any person anymore. You are now making the gospel ineffective. It was here to pierce people's hearts, to call people to repentance. We need preachers who love people enough to call them to repentance and to speak the full Word of God.
Wow, is that a picture? I wish I had come up with that one. To put one of those big old, one of those things called those noodles, to put one of those noodles over the Word of God, because more than any, can you imagine that if you go to the doctor and you're having some type of procedure, that the doctor comes in with a Q-tip, tries to cut you open with a Q-tip? You'd say, what are you doing, dude? Take that cotton off of that thing. Get you a razor blade. Cut me open. Let's get this thing fixed, right? What are they telling us in church? Oh, don't slice that. Oh, coach, don't slice that. Ooh, the Word of God, coach. It's sharper than a sword. Don't do that, right? That's where we are. And I was thinking last night. I see you, Jeff. I'll get to you in a second. I was thinking last night, as I was growing up, Michelle and I were having this discussion after we came back from the church in the garage, how little of the Word I ever knew as I was growing up. Would anybody amen me with that? Huh? Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to tell anybody. I was in the Catholic Church, and I didn't know I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew everything that the Catholic Church told me, but I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I use a double negative, not on purpose. Know nothing. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And I think the most people who... That's the discussion Michelle and I had as we're coming home. Did you really have any understanding? You mean you were in church every Sunday? Every Sunday? And all of a sudden you go to college and you had no understanding of the scriptures? Really? And then you telling me that you get up in the morning and you go to church on Sunday and you put your children in children's church? You put them in children's church? And you got somebody in there teaching children's church? And then you go home, and on Monday, you send them for 8 hours into the public school where there isn't even a sword that they're allowed to unsheath. And we look around, wonder what the heck's happened to us. It always, in my opinion, comes back to the church. Always comes back to the church. So I'm going to show you something here in a second. I know Jeff wants to get in there. I'm going to talk. Truth is offensive. I'm going to talk to you about I'm going to open some eyes to you here in just a second. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, you just talked about hierarchy. There is no hierarchy in that garage. No.
No, great. By the way, Jeff, hang on there a second.
Yeah.
Spencer, while Jeff is talking, look up hierarchy. Go ahead, Jeff.
But you know where that video come from? A little pastor down in Bladensburg played that in a Church of God. And now he's a dependent Church of God, and he's been ruffling the feathers of these people. Can you imagine what them Church of Gods around here thought when they found out he played that in that church? And then a couple nights later, he's got Alan Zeifer sounding the shofar in there. They had no clue what a shofar was. But every week he gets your news with views, and I share stuff with him. Amen. He is coming along, Yeah. So it's been good.
Amen. You know what I think? Folks, I think there are a lot of pastors who maybe want to come out of the cocoons, but I think they're afraid. I think they're afraid. And I looked up right here on hierarchy. Did you know that's an order or rank of angels or celestial beings or a subordination of holy beings? It's the constitution and government of the Christian church or ecclesiastical polity, comprehending different orders of clergy, as in the hierarchy of England. Let me ask you something right now. What you think about your church, what's the hierarchy at your church? Is there a pecking order? And for what purpose is there a pecking order at your church? Now, I'm going to tell you this. At Pass the Salt Ministries, there is no pecking order. There is no pecking order. God called me to Pass the Salt Ministries. Do I call Roger for advice? Oh, yeah. Do I call Chad for advice? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do I call my wife for an advice? Oh, yeah, I do. I seek advice. But ultimately, the buck has to stop with me. Has to stop with me. Now, that is very, very dangerous. If this was a local fellowship, wherever you guys are coming here by choice. You're coming here by choice. But if you were going to a local fellowship and people coming from a lot of different directions, of course you need some type of order. Otherwise, we're in the mess that we're in today with pastor-driven churches, with the pastor taking the church wherever he wants to go without any, you with me? So we have so many different denominations and yada, yada, yada. And I don't know what you guys say. When I see some of these church, Coach say, Coach, don't you love the Bride of Christ? I do. I do. That's why I get the scalpel out and cut some of those warts off of her. Say, dude, huh? get rid of that belly. Were you there, huh? I think we're allowed to do that. I think constructive criticism is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's like when I was coaching football, some of the football players, they'd get sucking on their thumb after a while. And they'd say, Coach, like we're watching film, right? Coach, you only point out when I do something wrong. Yeah, it's called coaching. You're supposed to do it right. My job is to point out when you do it wrong. I'm behind you, man. I'm your biggest fan. But I don't have time to pat you on the back after every play. Do your stinking job. And when you don't do your job, I'm going to point it out to you. Why am I going to point it out to you? Because there are at least 10, maybe 50, maybe 80 other guys depending on you. Not about you. And we've made so much of Christianity not what it's supposed to be. Glenn, come on in. I saw that hand. Come on in.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And I think back, you know, I was an altar boy. So I think back at that time, and I remember that the priest, when he did the mass, you know, he would do a mass every morning, right? Yeah. And you would, if you were an altar boy, you would rotate, you would serve, you know, some of these for a week. They read the Bible in Latin. So it was no different than...
Amazing. It was amazing, Glenn. I grew up like that. They were reading the Bible in Latin. I didn't have any idea what they were saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they never talked about it. Okay, it was part of a liturgical, ceremony where mm-hmm. they read it in Latin. And I thought, thinking to myself, well, gee, that was no different than Martin Luther's day.
That's right? That is, right. And what did Martin Luther do? He said, boys, they ain't telling you the truth. And he pounded it up on the door. Here's what they're telling you. And what happened to him? Well, the hierarchy didn't like that very well, did they? In fact, what did they call it? What did they call it? They still call us today. What are we? Come on, what are we called to this day? Protestants. What are we Protestants protesting? Can you believe it? Hundreds of years later, still called Protestants because Martin Luther protested. Okay, so here I go. Just jump in there with me. Well, that's important right there. Do I show that yet, Lord? No, let's do this. Let's go to 7. Go to number 3. Because I hear this all the time. Coach Dave, are you one of those 7 mountain folks? And I thought, 7 mountains? 7 mountains? Well, I know Mount Pleasant, Lancaster. I know the Smoky Mountains is down in Tennessee. I know the Blue Ridge Mountains down in West Virginia. 7 mountains? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Can I tell you what's going on here? Well, you just watch. This is very, very short. So, folks, have you guys ever heard of the 7 mountain mandate? I'm going to jump into that a little bit today so you're up to date on what we're going on and why churches will not work together. This is a very short video on what they call the 7 mountain mandate. 7 mountain meaning the 7 high places in society that the church needs to occupy. By the way, great, great pushback against the 7 mountain theology. Time out. I don't think I'm a 7 mountain guy, but I continue to be accused of it. Go ahead and play it.
State proposes that there are 7 mountains that Christians must control. Okay, must control to establish a global Christian theocracy and prepare the world for Jesus's return. So they're looking at Christ coming back as dependent on the state of American politics.
Lie! That's not what they believe!
What these 7 areas are. First one is government, education, media, arts and entertainment, religion, family,
freeze
and
up.
Business.
Can you go back? So the 7 mountains... Go ahead. We'll get it. Go ahead. Keep going.
Believe that just because a governmental organization tells you you can't do this and you can't do that, that it's going to change your heart. God's always been after the heart.
Always.
I wish that we had God in all of these things. I wish we were thinking about that. I just don't agree with forcing it. I just think that's going to be a bad outcome.
Jesus wants everybody to.
These guys are stupid. These guys are stupid.
Cram down everybody's throat. That's not what Jesus is asking.
Hang on. Let me ask you something. See, when they run up with something they don't agree with, they always take it to the extreme. Okay, hang on. What are the 7 mountains? Pull that up. That would be number 4, I think. I think it's in number 4. Makes me what? Hang on. Will you guys make me feel good here? Will you reinforce me? Would somebody out there say, Coach, I never knew this.
Boom. I did not.
Anybody else? Huh? Betty, you ever heard of it? Huh? You ever heard of the 7 mountain mandate?
Nope.
I've never
heard of it. Randy. Yeah. The church is preaching the lamb and not the lion. So here are the 7 mountains that I believe as a, I'm not a 7 mountain guy, whatever. See, they always try to put you in a class or something. They always want to stick you in something. So when they stick you in there, racist, bigot, homophobe, anti-Semite. So when they stick you in that, then they can shoot at you because you're one of them, right? So the 7 mountain mandate that we're dealing with in America today, around the world, really, is there's a group of people who believe that these 7 mountains should be under the control of God's people. Now, we just heard those 2 liars say must, as if making rules is going to bring people to Christ. That ain't it. But I'm going to tell you this. How many of you were raised believing rules before you ever came to Christ? Isn't that the way you were? Didn't your mom and dad say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this? Wasn't it the rules that led you to the truth? I believe it was.
Amen.
Right? And so now, anytime you begin to talk about impacting the rule makers, no, that's Christian dominionism. That's another whole story. Okay, so here are the 7 mountains. I didn't make this up. Lance Wallnau's kind of at the center of it. And actually, there's a guy before him, and I can't remember. I'll get his name here. Rush Dooney, I think, maybe was his name. Ask yourself this, folks. This is pretty basic to me. Should the church, Christianity, be the salt and light and in control of education? Somebody say yes or no.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Religion?
Yes.
All of yes.
The family?
Yes. Yes.
Business?
Yes.
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 Government, military?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Arts and entertainment?
Yes. Boom.
Yes.
The media?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
If the church was in control of all of these things, would America look like what it looks like today?
No way.
No way that it would.
No.
So how could, because I hear it all the time, how could me saying we ought to be in control of every one of those be anti-Christian? And that's what they hit us over the face with, right? So these seven sectors of society are thought to mold the way everyone thinks and behaves. So to tackle societal change, these seven mountains must be transformed. By the way, God questions, they don't believe in the seven mountain mandate. These mountains are referred to as pillars. By the way, the Bible calls it, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11:3, I believe it is. These mountains are also called pillars or shapers or molders or spheres. And those who follow the seven mountain mandate speak of occupying, invading the culture, transforming, or taking back society. Anybody think we shouldn't do that? Randy, am I missing something here? Is this not what it means to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? Is not the Christian walk a mandate to take control of all these things? That Christ in me, the hope of glory, everywhere I go, yes or no? Whew, get my blood pressure back down.
Be careful there, coach.
I can't even believe that anybody would want to argue with this. They call it, I'm looking over here, what do they call it? It doesn't matter. Scroll on down. Anybody think there's something wrong with one of these? Lance Wall now coined the term Seven Mountain Mandate. And he's one of its prominent. Yeah, he's not like Pastor Billy Bob, who sits in the corner and hides from these seven things. He don't want to occupy any of them because, can I tell you the truth? He can't wait for the rapture to get here. And if he occupied those seven mountains and we started to take control of society, all of a sudden it wouldn't look like the end time so much, would it?
Boom.
Oh, I know some of you getting mad. I don't care. I don't care. The problem, according to Wall now, is that Christians are not currently influencing outside society. Would anybody want to argue with that?
Amen.
Hey, Jeff Klein, can you impact school boards? Yeah. Hey, Dave Allison, can you impact government offices? Yeah. Hey, Randy, can you impact churches? Yeah. Well, don't do that. That's Seven Mountain Mandate. You're fighting Jesus. Jesus wants it to get worse. And you're out there trying to make it better. Stop it, Randy. I'm telling you, that's where that logic leads. Now, look, you guys know this. I use sarcasm a lot. But sarcasm's okay because it provides an emphasis. Hey, are you ready? Ain't no middle ground. We're either in charge or we're occupied. We are either the head or the tail, baby. We're either above or we're beneath. What is that on the head, not the tail? First, not the last? Isn't that in the scripture? God, make me the head, not the tail. Make me the first, not the last. Make me above, not beneath. Somebody finding that out there? What? So poor old Wall now, why his teaching is loosely based. I wonder how many other things are loosely based that we do in American church. Loosely based. Yeah, on the Abraham covenant, which promised Abraham a seed and a lasting inheritance. Also, Israel was promised in Deuteronomy 28 to be the head and not the tail among the nations.
proponents of the Seven Mountain Mandate infer that the church, not Israel, is the entity to claim that prominence. And it's now up to believers to move in proximity to the gates of hell, which and position themselves to exert the greatest amount of influence. Each individual Christian is to find the particular mountain to which he is called and be a leader in that room. Would America be better? Just asking. If only Christians were allowed to be elected to government. Would it?
Well, Thomas, that's the way it was supposed to be. Just to be told the truth.
That's where that live separation churches take. Here's what I'm trying to show you, folks. Christians are rejecting the mandate to go into all the world. They're rejecting it. They're being called, they're being made fun of. He's a Seven Mountain guy. Oh, wait a minute. Randy, you want to control Hollywood? Oh, no, Randy. No, we're not supposed to do that. We're just supposed to go after the individual hearts of our neighbor. Folks, how stupid are we? Every major organization should, by design and theology, be under the control of Christ. Anybody want to argue with that? King of kings, Lord of lords?
King of kings.
Huh? There ain't nothing that he's not supposed to be in control of. And this is nothing, in my opinion, this Seven Mountain thing is nothing but cowardice. Christians should be involved in arts, business, government, media, etc. We need, now keep rolling, we need believers in those areas. Oh yeah, we need them there. We sure as hell don't need them in control though. Yet, they aren't going to vote for Donald Trump because he's not Christian enough. I had to get that jab in there. The message of the gospel must permeate everywhere. And the Seven Mountain Mandate is a strategy that makes sense on one level. The people wielding the most influence today, the people at the top of the mountain, are for the most part ungodly people who do not follow God's word. To influence the influencers, you can change the world. Become an influencer yourself, and you can bring change more quickly. But one caveat to that is, that is, the Lord may do his work any way that he sees fit. The Lord doesn't have to move with you being head of the school board. No, he can do it another way. We have no direct command in Scripture to seek positions of influence in society. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? We have no direct command in Scripture to seek positions of influence in society. Only that we're to get people saved. God may use anyone. I couldn't agree more. No, regardless of how high on the mountain he or she is. In fact, God has specifically chosen the lowly. I get it. That's why we go to school board meetings. That's why we try to get our candidates in positions of authority. Another caution is that the Seven Mountain Mandate traces its origins to, here we go, to visions. So they want to hang it on Peter Wagner and Bill Johnson and Cheon, and I don't care about any of those, but the idea of whether or not God's people ought to be in positions of authority, to me, not to have God's people in positions of authority goes against the Scripture. I'm going to shut up. Come on in, Julie.
Good morning, Coach. Yeah, I learned about the Seven Mountains years ago in church, just in church, but...
Were they for it or against it?
They were for it because we prayed over it, but they did not equip the saints on action. It was all about prayer. So I was at, you know, I was like, okay, we're praying over these Seven Mountains, but is that it? You know what I mean? So now, to the present, you know, we know how to go through those Seven Mountains and break the strongholds and everything. So, yeah. But thanks for bringing that up.
The world desperately needs Jesus, and we are to take the message of Jesus into all the world. We need Christian professors, lawyers, CEOs, drill sergeants, newscasters, coaches, painters, chefs, gardeners, actors, handymen. The list goes on. And the church should not shy away from engagement with the world, and all professions need a gospel witness. But wherever we are and whatever we do, we should work at it with our whole heart is working under the Lord. And we trust that Jesus will continue to build his church. Maybe I'll call Jeff Klein to have him come down here and build me a barn. What? I'm not going to do that. Why don't you go do that? Because Jeff ain't never built a barn.
Amen.
I'm going to have somebody build a barn. I've got somebody who knows how to build a barn. I want somebody to run government. I want to hire somebody that knows how to govern according to the Lord. This is, folks, this is the crap that we deal with. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I love your sarcasm. It makes the point. But, you know, it all comes down to this, Coach. In Matthew 28, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, it's all in how you define go disciple the nations. If you think that's evangelism only and you're just getting people saved to go to heaven, you can't see this. That's all you see. And that's the Baptist good. God bless all of our evangelical brothers and sisters. But they don't understand this dominion mandate because they don't see discipleship as taking authority and, displacing darkness with the culture and placing the kingdom of God there. They don't understand that principle. So this is asinine to most people. They can't get this. But Coach, look at what Jesus said. He says, now I have all power and authority. The word power there is not dunamis. It's not the one in Acts 1:8. It's the power. It means I have all jurisdiction over the entire
authority. That's right.
He's the new legal authority. He's the judge. He's the king for the earth, not just one nation, all of them. Now, if you think it's all future and that's going to happen just in the millennial reign, then you're probably not going to do anything. But when you understand it's the moment that you come into the kingdom and you become a follower and you start discipling the nations, then you understand, look, I can change this communist culture here and make it Christian, and these people will take their government back.
By the way, Randy, they took
how it worked, Coach.
Randy, they took a Christian culture and made it communist.
But they Coach, you know what happens? And I'm reading the chat, and I'm very discouraged to see a lot of the comments because there's always the infiltration. Look, if everyone said, "Oh, the church has been infiltrated," I'm not going to be part of it. Well, that doesn't mean the truth's not still out there, and we have to push it. It means that the people see some of the people that are in these movements, and you go, "Well, I don't like them. Their character's not good enough," and all that. That's not how you define the movement. You don't define MAGA by Donald Trump. You define the movement, any movement, by what it produces, Coach.
So, Randy, why do you go steak? Why do you do that, Randy? You could just go to your church and do praise and worship on Sunday and be a good, honest businessman, help people and donate. What are you, Randy? You're not supposed to be involved in government.
That's called dominion, Coach. It's called authority. And if we don't have that, we don't have anything. This is all a big lie. And we either do. And when you realize it, Coach, you realize, look, I don't have to go take my gun or my sword or anything. All I have to do is take the gospel, the truth, and take it in there. And that's the two-edged sword coming out of our mouth.
There you go.
It displaces everywhere we take it, Coach, with our feet on the ground and our mouth open speaking it, it displaces darkness. And if it displaces it at the school, at the courthouse, in government, in your home, wherever you do this, it displaces darkness. And
it does.
That isn't dominion. What is it then?
So Randy, look, I'm not a seven mountain dominionist. Okay, I'm not. I'm an all mountain dominionist. That's me. That's where I come down, right? And I'm going to tell you something. Those people who are look. New Apostolic Reformation and all that. I could get in a lot of stuff. The debate we're having here right now is whether or not men of God should occupy positions of authority. That's the debate. It isn't all this other stuff they try to drag you into.
Amen.
Should we do this and should we do that? And if Jesus is going to do this, Jesus is going to ask yourself one very simple question. Did Jesus Christ say, occupy till I come? Yes or no? There's your answer. Huh? And anybody who isn't occupying is not following the mandate of Jesus Christ. I'm more than seven mountains. And I ain't following, who are these guys in this new apostle? I ain't following them. I'm not following them. But it sure as heck makes, I'm glad Jeff Klein goes to the school board meeting. I'm glad Dave and Sherry are going to, I'm glad Randy's out staking. I'm glad they're expanding the gospel. And can't you see the religious world again disapproving of something they didn't sanction? It's all about control. All about control. Go ahead, Keith.
Are we talking the seven mountains or seven hills?
Well, there's the same thing, I suppose. Seven mountains or seven hills. I don't know. What mountain isn't he on top of? If we got on top of that one mountain, see, those seven mountains, they're just little subdivisions of the big mountain. He's King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. He's God over all, including Hollywood, including the educational system. Now, the fact that Hollywood and the educational system is not following his mandates isn't his fault. It's our fault. Go and teach. Go and teach. All things I've commanded you, you go and you teach. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hidden. You go and teach. And when you tell people we ought to go take over Hollywood, that's a seven mountain mandate. Stephen, come on in. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, Coach. I'm glad that you're actually speaking about this doctrine, because when I first came across it was back under Perry Stone's ministry, back when I was under false doctrine in the beginning of my walk. And you're the first one. At first, I was kind of worried that you were actually supporting the Seven Mount mandate, but I had to get like, and I'm glad that you refined that at the end to help me understand exactly what the discussion was actually about. So yes, I'm glad that you're
seven mountains, Steve. It's to occupy everywhere we go. Friends, does it make sense that we're going to train children to be little Christians when Christians aren't in control of the education? Does that even make sense to you? Come on. Come on. Do you think Hollywood is going to influence children in the right way if Christians aren't in control of Hollywood? Come on. We should be taking ground. As far as these seven, the new apostolic, don't even get me going on that one. The new apostolic reformation is nothing more than men wanting to pound on their chest and look like they're important. That's all that thing is.
Hey, Coach, can you biblically share and express occupy biblically for those who want to learn to occupy?
Wow, I suppose. What does it mean to occupy? What does Webster say? To take possession. First person who occupies land. Oh, I got something I got to show you. To keep in possession, to possess, to hold, to take up, to possess, to cover, to fill. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Pull up number two. Pull up number two. Folks, you think, huh? Huh? You think there's not a connection? You think there's the nation of Atz land. Put it up 1.5 speed. Are you ready? Huh? You know what immigration is about, boys and girls? Do you know what immigration's about? Go ahead.
We remain a hunted people. Now you think you have a destiny to fulfill in this land that historically has been ours for 40,000 years, and we're a new mestizo nation. This is our homeland. We cannot, we will not, and we must not be made illegal in our own homeland. We are not immigrants that came from another country to another country. We are migrants free to travel the length and breadth of the Americas because we belong here. We are millions. We just have to survive. We have an aging white America. They are not making babies. They're dying. It's a matter of time. The explosion is in our population.
It's not enough to elect Latino leadership if they're supporting legislation that denies the undocumented. They don't belong in office, friends. They don't belong here.
And those rednecks that are out there making decisions for the betterment of their communities will think twice before they push forward anti-immigrant legislation against our community. You can be as revolutionary as you want. You can be Chicano nationalist. You can believe it. You can believe in the concept of Aztlan. You can believe in the concept of multiculturalism. We don't have to give our lives. We're not at that point. But we can give a little.
Aztlan. Nation of Aztlan. You know, when the extreme right wing talks about Aztlan,
I guess it's from a guilty complex, because they know what they did in Texas.
We have the armor, we have the infantry, we have the artillery, and we have to combine it under one organized command, so we can wage an effective countervailing war against those racists that are trying to continue to discriminate and impede our
The last gasp of white America. Understand that.
And people say to me on the Senate floor when I was in the Senate, why are you fighting so hard for affirmative action programs? And I tell my white colleagues, because you're going to need them.
You know, but when we look out in the audience and we see, you know, la familia, la raza, you know, it's a great feeling. Isn't it a good feeling? And then, you know, I started to think about that, and I says, it reminded me of a book that we all read and we all heard about, you know, Paul Revere, you know, and his, when he was saying, you know, the British are coming, the British are coming. Well, the Latinos are coming, the Latinos are coming. So that's what this agenda is about. It's about assuring that we increase our numbers, that we increase our numbers at every level. And let me tell you, we can't go back. You know, we're in a civil war. United Latinos will win.
The de facto elimination of the border between Mexico and the United States. I believe that the debate revolving around our immigration policy should reflect the fact that this phenomenon is underway.
By the way, Hispanics are not aborting their children. Oh, how long has old coach said it? This is about the elimination of the white evangelical Protestant. Oh, my goodness. Mayor Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, you know, 12 years ago, I ran for school board. And I even had, the Jehovah Witnesses coming to me all the time. Oh, JC, you have to be involved in politics. Blah, blah, blah. And they hammered me. Then the far left smeared me all over the internet. He's trying to take over our schools and make them Christian schools. We can't have that. Oh, they're just ripping me. And then even the Christians. Well, JC, you know how it is. We win in the end and blah, blah.
Yeah.
I heard it all. And then ran for county commissioner. We said this. Pastor Bill said this after the election. 60,000 people in the county. Only 6,000 people voted. 140 churches in the county. And we had... Purcell had 2,400 votes, and me and the other two guys, three of us, each had about 1,000. Results come in. We're up there. Pastor Bill's with me. We're up there hanging with all the politicians. He looked up the board. He said, JC, if the Christians would have just come out and voted for you, it would have been a landslide. They don't.
They don't. No, they don't. Why? Because we're not. Because the Seven Mountain Mandate is not biblical. And I'm not for the Seven Mountain Mandate. Can somebody tell me, as you look at me right now, with 3 minutes to go here in the show, can you tell me one area of the world, let's just start in America, that Jesus Christ is not supposed to be Lord over? Can just somebody name one for me? I'll wait. Judah, go ahead.
Coach, this stuff is such truth. It is a firing hot sword. And what people don't get about the Seven Mountain topic is the Apostles Network.
Yeah, that's on my to-do list, Judd. Go ahead.
This Apostles Network.
Control, 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 control.
And in their contract that they sign, these are legitimate things, they'll sign to be a part of this Apostle Network, like a buyer's club, like a Costco almost.
Amen.
They pay their dues. I believe see some people paying $3,000, $6,000, $4,000 a week or a month just to be a part of this network. And the pay.
And then, Judd, then they travel around and speak in each other's churches and make money
exactly
doing it.
Exactly, scratching each other's back. But here's the main point. Whatever message they get together, they now try to amplify at their seven mountains, and one of those is going to be at a certain period in time as to, and it just has to be little, because remember, across this entire network, at least in the United States, how many churches do they control? And then you gotta look at the percentage of the percentage of the numbers, the people who are attenders. All they have to do is say something. They don't have to say it like specifically, do not vote. All they have to do is say, just a sleight of tongue. You know what? At this election, I think I'm going to step out. And how many other people go, yeah, you know what, Pastor, that sounds really good. I think as a Christian this time, I'm not going to vote this time. And what they do is they have complete control of all those dominions. And I can see it coming right now. I can see the messaging coming right now. They're already like, yeah, you know what? Already, it's already there. I know of a group right now you could dial in and turn into, and they're already laying the foundation about Trump. They're already laying this foundation about the UN. They're already laying this foundation of, well, we need to make some change here. And it's going to be last second. It's going to be that last second horse catapult.
Jed, I'm out of time. I'm out of time. I believe in an every mountain mandate. That's what I believe. See you tomorrow.